podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome back to Forest Focus, a rare second podcast of the day for us as Nottingham Forest announced their season ticket for prices for 2024-25. It's a huge negative reaction from fans today, with the average increase coming out at 24% for next season. Joining me for the next 20 minutes or so to discuss all that and give his take on it is Michael Temple. Temps, good evening. Good to have you with us. Are you well?
Yeah, good, mate. This is hard for me, obviously, being in the sports industry and also being a massive football fan and a Forest fan, and remembering the days of my first under 18 season ticket in the Trent End Upper, which I think was 55 quid. So yeah, tough emotive subject matter, right?
Yeah, but it's good to have you on because you can kind of, you've got a foot in both camps. I mean, just the headlines from it, the top price now is 850 quid. They changed the age brackets slightly, which has had an impact on younger fans. I've had lots of messages from fans saying that, you know, their ticket prices are up 50% in two seasons since the Championship. Forest kind of say they've simplified the process. They split the ground into four zones, simple age brackets, and they feel they offer value for money still in Premier League terms. It's not gone down well at all, and I can see why. What's your take on it in general?
I get it in the sense that the club are trying to raise revenues to compete, to outmaneuver those that are in and around them, but football's born out of being a working man's game, being accessible, being the place that everybody went on a Saturday afternoon. And as it's got more popular and bigger businesses has evolved and players' salaries have crept beyond all expectation, it is ultimately falling down to the pocket of the fan. This goes beyond tickets, by the way. This is the price of our Sky subscriptions. This is the price we pay for merchandise. This is the commercialization of football pretty much since the start of the Premier League era. So it hasn't been caused by, you know, the Forest top brass with a stroke of a pen in a spreadsheet at the City Ground. This has been happening for a long, long time around us. I don't think my love for football or love for my club has ever changed, but it's certainly testing the pockets of most people, isn't it, when they have to make a choice whether or not to invest that amount of cash. The cold reality is the City Ground will be full next season, and I believe that if we're in the Premier League or the Championship, whilst that price is far beyond anything anyone has ever paid before, there are now more people on a waiting list that are paid to be on waiting list than there ever has been before. We spoke last week about the equivalent fixture in 2017, being Forest playing Rotherham midweek in front of 17,000 people. There wasn't sufficient demand to fill the City Ground. Now there's sufficient demand to fill it twice over. And the club have reacted to that. So disappointing on a fan level. But I know, come rain or shine, whatever division we're in, the first game of next season, we'll be greeted by another sellout crowd, and Forest will be taking more from the gates than ever before.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I wanted to do it as well is obviously this doesn't really apply to season ticket holders solely. It's the kind of the wider question of how we view football fans, how the Premier League clubs view football fans. Because one person replied to me saying, you know, businesses do this all the time to customers. Look at energy companies, 50% increases. And it was kind of the word customers that struck me. And we'll get into some Forest specifics, but you know, fans are customers now, and the idealist in me finds that pretty miserable, frankly. I suppose you work in that industry. Can you see where I'm coming from?
Well, look, I'll just caveat this by saying there's one massive fundamental difference between the county cricket industry and the football industry, and that county cricket clubs are generally member-owned. Those members generally have a sense of belonging to the club, and technically speaking, an ownership stake too, and that doesn't happen in football outside of a few leagues where it's super successful. Germany perhaps being the best example, the 51% rule, majority fan ownership at all of those clubs in the top tier of German football, and that refreshing attitude from them, that adding 100 quid on a season ticket, yeah, it chucks up the income by a couple of million quid, but that's a drop in the ocean. That's an agent's fee for an average signing at a top tier European league. So look, I do understand it. I've spent my lifetime working in stadium businesses, trying to find ways to drive incremental income. But it's very stark, very apparent when you see such a sizable increase aimed at one specific group, which is match attending fans. And they are the fans that feel it the most, that care the most, that spend the most money. So I do fully understand some of the responses I've seen to Forest tweets today, to some of the things that you and others have put out. But it's not going to end anytime soon. I don't think it'll be too long before there's a four-figure price attached to the best season tickets at the City Ground.
Yeah, I think it's the scale of it that's difficult to swallow. Like 24% is a huge increase. And I said this at the live show, my worry is around pricing out a generation of fans, older and younger. And also, I don't know what the right term is, an economic class of fans, I don't know, that, you know, restricts the kind of people that have been there through thick and thin, and the club will need if they get relegated to the Championship. We'll come on to that point as well. I know, like Oliver says, you know, clubs have a spending problem, not an income problem. On the flip side of that, other people are saying, you know, this is the reality. Greg says £44 a game for Premier League football. Is it that bad? Forest saying they offer relative value for Premier League football as well. I mean, they're not offering, another thing they're not offering is any kind of cut if we get relegated into the Championship, which looks a distinct possibility. Is this whole thing a big PR gaffe or not, do you think?
Well, not in the sense that if we believe the speculation, there's more than 5,000 people on a waiting list, any ticket that becomes available is going to be grabbed up. Retention rates are going to increase because people know for the first time now that if they don't renew their season ticket, it's not going to be there in 4 weeks' time should they have a change of heart. I'm not seeing a single comment that I disagree with. There's a comparison being made to the price of gas, which is a stress purchase, right? But none of us like that, but we have to do it. What we do with our leisure spend is a choice, but football fandom is something you're born into. It very rarely comes to you late in life. It's drilled into you from parents or friends or whatever else, and you're going to sacrifice another part of your life, the choices that you make. In some cases, be that, you know, shelter, warmth and food, is that start to pursue your football club, often home and away. Up and down the length and breadth of the country. So I get it. I think you made a good point earlier about the gentrification of football and pricing out those on lower incomes, the march of the middle classes. We've seen that at Arsenal, which is a club transformed from what it was with an atmosphere that's far from traditional in Premier League football. And I think why it's so stark to us is because our success has come so quickly. There were kids for a quid schemes not ever so long ago. There were games where we had to close upper tiers in early cup rounds less than 2 years ago. The impact of the relative success we've had in playing Premier League opposition every week and get ourselves into a position where we're signing, you know, really exciting players is the financial reality of those around us and the income that we need to make to compete. So, yeah, I've got splinters in my backside more than ever before in this conversation, because I see both perspectives. On the one hand, a group of club executives tasked by an owner who subsidises a club to drive incremental income. On the other side, a set of supporters, many of which have been there through thick and thin, who see this massive wedge they have to shell out to watch a season of football next year. And the ones I align myself with most closely are those that were here 10 years ago, that were here when Colin Calderwood got us out of League One. Let's go back, those that were here during the Clough era, because the game that they see now isn't one that they recognise from when they first got involved, and nor are the prices.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sit well with me, I'll be honest, but I suppose the club's argument would be, or partly on would be, okay, it raises 5 million quid a year, and people will say that's not a lot. I guess cumulatively, if it raises 5 million this season, you hike it up again, it raises 7 million this season, it does contribute towards PSR. But surely, you know, the Premier League is so attractive to commercial partners now. Is that not a better avenue to explore? I mean, I'd rather see, you know, sponsors on the socks. Man United have got sponsors for toilet roll, probably. I'd rather go down that route personally than, you know, squeeze fans even more.
I mean, they are. So we, you know, I've kind of broke this down in the past, but the three sources of revenue, the match day income, the commercial partnership income, and the broadcast income, all of those columns have increased for Forest every year for the past 3 years. And they do feed off each other, don't they? The more of your money you can spend on that starting 11 and the relative quality of your players, the higher you climb, the more you can command for tickets, the more sponsors are interested, and the more you featured on TV and the ensuing prize money, match-specific bonuses that come from that. So it's a simple business in that sense, and you can make a lot of money for the stroke of a pen. Charging a tenner to be on a season ticket waiting list, easy decision, unpopular decision, doesn't take much to implement, and overnight potentially raises, you know, somewhere between 50 grand and 100,000 quid. Now, the common hit back that you see time and time again is, well, they waste that every week on Harry Arter or whatever the equivalent might be, whichever portion of that cash isn't being wisely spent at any given time. But yeah, make no mistake, this isn't the final increase, above inflation increase in Premier League tickets. If we stay at this party for as long as we want to, we're going to have to pay more. If we decide that we can't afford it, there's someone around the corner that will nip in and get that. I don't like that. I wish they'd found some kind of way to protect the entry point. Tiered pricing is quite a common thing in cricket. The 100 is probably the best example of this, where whatever happens with top end prices, there's some protection for those so-called bronze seats for a particular area of the ground. The differential between those renewing and those trying to enter, I think, is an important thing. You should reward loyalty in sport. You should back those that have backed you for the longest. But ultimately, it does come down to how much cash can they generate that they can spend. One final thing I'd say in defence of the owner, who won't have made this policy, but will have tasked his staff with a strategy of driving incremental commercial income, is that Forest is a subsidised club, and income from fans alone would see us make a substantial loss and get to a point where, with, you know, current spending commitments, we wouldn't be a going concern for any particular amount of time. So fans spend what they can afford, obviously, but there's an individual putting in eight figures every year to make sure that we continue to be viable. And it's very, very tough to argue against the decisions that he makes when he knows full well that there's 10,000 people locked out of the ground every week that would love to be there.
I think the other thing, well, there's a few other things as well. Like, you're charging a premium price now for a premium product. And I don't normally mention the cold water in the stands thing, but, you know, I was at the game on Saturday and I walked out and almost slipped over on piss on the floor. People have a right to expect a certain service. This is a comment, not a question. People have a right to expect a certain level of service now. And if, you know, I know it's very difficult. There's issues around the plumbing to get hot water into the stands, but I don't know. I don't like it. And there's another thing as well. Football clubs are at the heart of the community, and you can't alienate a chunk of your community. And I feel like they're doing that with this. It's, you know, it's a big increase. And that I've seen this on Twitter. They put out a tweet with the Brian Clough, it's our game, that kind of thing. And you can't have it one way and then have it the other. That's how I kind of see it. You know, the whole bring the noise thing, and then actually we're going to charge you a shed load of money to, you know, we want that noise as well. And the people who were there bringing that noise 10 years ago, well, if you can't afford it, someone else can come in. And that's what I annoys me about it. And I'm glad we had Temps on to put both sides of the argument. But I don't know, it doesn't sit particularly well with me. And, you know, do you think there's any chance, given the backlash, that they'll reverse course at all or not?
Not on prices, no, but I hope there's a reaction to what you described there. So all stadium businesses have a choice of the level of spend they're going to put into spectator experience and the amount that they wrap around the sporting spectacle to make it more welcoming for particular groups. If you want to attract families, more women, younger generations, older generations, anything but that core, you know, archetypal vision of a football fan that's simply there to have three pints and a pie and watch the game, which is often my Saturday afternoons, by the way. I'm not bagging any particular group. You have to do more. you have to make sure they feel comfortable in the toilets. You have to make sure it's clean, it's tidy, it's a non-threatening atmosphere. There are elements of entertainment for children, whatever it might be, and we spend a considerable amount of resource on those touches at Trent Bridge. I would like to see more of that at Forest, and I know, speaking to some of the people that work there, they would too, and they'd love to have the budget to do that. So absolutely with you on that. I think with premium pricing, top end pricing, comes higher expectation. That's the same of any product or service that we buy. And of course, it would be nice to have warm water, a bit of pressure, some cleanliness, and knowledge that you're going to be in a nice environment when you're watching the game. The reality is, I think beyond any other sporting spectacle in the UK, certainly, when it comes to watching Premier League football, it's the sport that matters. I understand the cricket audience when they come and watch T20. It's not necessarily their first sport. It's potentially their introduction to a sport that they may have been brought along by someone who's a passionate advocate for bat and ball. But we wrap around peripheral entertainment to make it entertaining to those that aren't core cricket fans. And I don't think football is particularly good at that. Arguably, because it doesn't have to be. Because as I say, everyone's there for the football. But wouldn't it be nice that in spending more, you got that bit more, and there were some more meaningful changes to the spectator experience?
I fully expect further increases for round the ground and general members tickets. What do you think the direction of travel is in the future? This is speculation. Do you think an independent regulator might step in and say, actually, you can only increase prices by 10% a year? Is that a possibility, do you think?
Well, I think football, like any industry would, is trying to avoid regulation by convincing people that it's prepared to self-regulate. And there's been some positive steps in the past. £30 cap on away tickets, I think, is an excellent move. Several notable examples in and around legislation for wheelchair access, for disabled access. And the club do some great things in the community as well. But you do have to remember the ordinary fan. The march is towards broadcast income. That's the biggest of those three pillars that I speak about in numeric terms. And the broadcasters want the wallpaper, as they might call it, of a full stadium. But economically, the revenue generated by having a full stadium pales into insignificance compared to that. I was at the Olympic Stadium for a couple of years when West Ham moved from Upton Park, and the number of season ticket holders they had doubled overnight. That wasn't through price, that was through availability and having 68,000 seats all of a sudden, where once there were 35. So as things stand at this moment in time, Forest don't have anything more to sell. They haven't got these boxes in the corner. They haven't developed this stand yet. So they're using alternative means, which is to charge more for the same thing. So I'd echo your plea to wrap more amenities around that. But until such time comes along that the Peter Taylor stand is redeveloped, that there will continue to be price rises.
You think that will continue league-wide then for as long as people pay it?
Absolutely. And not just ticket prices as well. I see that the price of football compares the price of a pie, a pint, a ticket, a programme and certain other core items. And there are some extortionate prices in the Premier League. I think, did Greg calculate earlier, £44 a game. It would have been half of that 5 years ago for certain championship matches, the price of a pint. And there is a squeeze within the grounds that, the cost of people, the cost of utilities, everything else. Forest aren't immune to those pressures. But they're not seeking to be a yo-yo club, are they? They're seeking to get up and get established. And that has meant making some unpalatable decisions. And it's sad that it falls on the pocket of the ordinary fan. But they've never before have they had so many people trying to get into the ground. And that's what it comes down to, isn't it? We hate that word, customer. I don't feel like a customer of Forest. I would hope nobody feels like a customer of Trent Bridge. But yeah, we get so much more out of our sports clubs than we do out of almost any other corporation, limited company, charity, whatever that we work with, have an association with. And that emotional tie is often played upon by pricing.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the prices are kind of established. Like, say, they're viewing it as we're an established Premier League club, and we're not. That's one thing. And there's one of the questions on the website: what happens if we get relegated? And it says, in line with financial investments shown by the club on and off the pitch over the past 2 years, we're fully committed to and preparing to be a member of the Premier League for the 2024-25 season. And that's it. It's like, okay, nothing to worry about then, lads. We're staying up. So, yeah, I think that's a bit of a gripe. Am I going to increase the Forest Focus subscriptions? Not yet. We'll do a special if I ever jack them up by 24%, certainly. Right, we'll leave it there. It's an emotive debate. I can see some people that, well, the opinions are pretty divided with some kind of...
I'm getting hammered, mate.
You are getting a bit hammered, yeah. But, you know, I think I got you on because you're well-versed in the field and you can put, you know, both sides of the argument. And I think I've put the kind of slightly annoyed fan argument on. I mean, it's a lot of... I'll try and find a tweet that Greg retweeted that probably is the biggest gripe. Any final thoughts just while I... you pad for me, basically, while I find this tweet?
Well, just make your own decision, right? I mean, there's three types of fan. There's the casual broadcast fan who watch Forest whenever they're on telly. There is a savvy younger generation that neither pays for football nor pays for broadcast and sticks their dodgy stick in the back of the telly and consumes the Premier League for free. And then there's the most loyal, archetypal, dedicated supporter who simply wouldn't miss a live game. So I do feel bad that this has come their way. And my hope would be that most people find a way to afford it to continue coming. I'd like the thought of those that supported us through the Championship promotion, the first season in the Premier League, this season in the Premier League, will still be sat in the same seats in the third year of the Premier League. But they all know that if for whatever reason they decide they have to give that up, they will be replaced by a new incumbent, and it won't be someone with the history, the association, the buy-in to the club that they have. So that's my hope. But I know there will be some saddening stories about people who've now been priced out.
Yeah, I've had tweets from people saying that, you know, I've had a ticket for years, I can't afford it. A few saying they won't buy it on principle. I think people often do in the end. But yeah, it's a sad to see people saying they're priced out. Derek saying, you know, his senior card in the upper cloth is a 38% increase. And it goes back to what I was saying about pricing out younger fans and older fans. Someone tweeted Greg saying, my son's ticket has gone up from 190 to 850 with the change in age brackets. And I think I've seen a lot of that. And that's one of the biggest shames to me. So I wanted to highlight that as the biggest disappointment. Right. We'll leave it there. Good to have people with us. Hopefully we've covered a decent breadth of the argument. There's always more you can say, but I've got to go and pick my door up from guides very shortly. So sorry we can't stay for too long. Yeah, the chairman's very welcome on the podcast, Lee, as you say. Anyone from Forest Senior up who wants to come on and put their case, like I did say at the top, Forest have said they feel like it's value for money relatively in the Premier League, but Premier League prices are going up all the time. So, right. We'll leave it there. Temps, you took a bit of a hammering, but I think you articulated yourself well. So thanks for putting yourself out there as ever.
Someone even accused me of being a Tory at one point.
I did see that, yeah. I think it was Kevin, yeah.
It got a bit political. Thanks, mate. And thanks for sticking me in the firing line. Much appreciated.
Throwing you under the bus, yeah.
Go and put your girl up from guides.
I know. I will
have the rest of the night off.
Temps rushed to put his kids into bed and, you know, give his boy his milk before bed and come down and put himself in the firing line. So he's a good man for doing it, and we appreciate it as ever. Good stuff, Tory, Temps says.
Not true.
No, he's shaking his head. Yeah, not true. Right. Thanks for everyone's company. Live show is out tomorrow. I've seen the video. It's really good. So thanks for the people who filmed that. And then back on Thursday with an Everton preview is the plan. Right. Have a good evening, everyone. And as ever, we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.